Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonhomme, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
And last week I started a new series called Making Most of the Middle. Who was blessed by last Sunday's sermon? If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, grab that on podcasts or on our YouTube channel. And I know it's going to be a blessing to you. So, of course, the idea is that we are in a middle season. And I want to preach to you today about what do you do when you are in a middle season. And so this morning, I want to preach again to the middle season and speak to this season that we are all currently experiencing and going through. Many people respond to transition and middle seasons, of course, differently. Some people find it to be inconvenient. Others respond to it, well, with some challenge. Some transitions, some middle seasons are anticipated. And then there are middle seasons, which, of course, are unanticipated. Some people respond to the middle season with faith. Other people, well, it turns into catastrophic circumstances. We've all experienced these transitions, these middle seasons in our lives. We go through middle seasons when you relocate. If you've ever moved from one city to another, you know that you go through a transition through a middle season. Those of you who've come from another country, immigrated, moved to Australia, you know what it's like to go through transition. You know what it's like to go through a middle season. Some of you have been through a middle, a transitional season in your career. Others, it's parenthood. You went from one child to two to three, possibly four, then you bought a Tarago. And you know what it's like to go through those changes. You know what it's like to transition. Others of you, you've gone through a transition in your business, some in their ministry. They've gone from one season to another, one location to the next. Middle season is an important season, that transitional time when we're moving from one location to another. If we don't handle the middle season right, if we don't respond to the middle season right, we can forfeit that which where God is wanting to actually take us. I liken the middle season a little bit to, like, I don't know if you remember when you were in year 7 and year 8, and your sports teacher, one of the things you seem to do is you got to learn how to canoe or how to use a kayak. And the idea of having one foot in the canoe and one foot on stable ground. And this middle season of one is stable and the other is unstable. One is moving and the other is steady. And it's critical in the middle season that we know how to transition. You get that step wrong into the canoe, have you know you're going to tip over. We don't want to tip over in this middle season. We got to recognize that we're not called to stay in that position. It is a transitional season. This will not last forever. We are transitioning and we have to learn. The people of God over and over again had to learn how to transition well, come on now, and how to handle the middle season. We're going to pick up a story today. I've leaned into this in the past, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. I want to come back to it again, and I want to talk about a season of transition in the Word of God. Real quick, there is a civil war that's taking place, a civil war between two of Israel's tribes, the tribe of Ephraim and the tribe of Gilead. So the Ephraimites and the Gileadites. Essentially what happens is that the Ephraimites got into name calling. So they started to call the Gileadites fugitives. Started to call them renegades. So in other words, they were insulting them. Because of their insults, well, the tribe of Gilead, they get a little bit upset. And they're like, we can't let these people speak to us like this. We're going to do something about this. So they take these taunts and literally this turns into violence, and a civil war erupts between these two tribes. Now, this war between these two tribes lasted for some time. And over a period of time, the Ephraimites who were under attack, as the war started to fizzle out, they wanted to get back to their homes. But the tribe of Gilead were intent on destroying these people. And so what they do is they establish a military checkpoint. They establish a base so that when the Ephraimites are transitioning from one location to another, it's at this checkpoint that they find out who they are. Now, the reason why they had to establish a checkpoint was because you could not tell the difference between someone who was an Ephraimite and someone who was a Gileadite. They looked identical. But there was one thing that gave them away during this time of transition in this crossing, and that's where we're going to pick up the story today. Judges chapter 12, verse 5. When you've got it, can I have a good amen? Amen. Judges chapter 12, verse 5. The Gileadites seized the shallow crossings of the Jordan. So this is their military checkpoint at the crossings of the Jordan before the Ephraimites arrived. And when any Ephraimite who had escaped said, "Here we go, watch the transition. Let me cross over." Come on, who wants to cross over today in Jesus' name? The men of Gilead would say to him, "Are you an Ephraimite?" If he said no, then they would say to him, here we go, then say Shibboleth. So it was this pronunciation of this word that determined whether they would transition or not. Everyone say the word Shibboleth. Come on, a little bit louder. And he would say Sibboleth, for he could not pronounce it right. They looked the same, but the pronunciation, come on, the pronunciation was incorrect. Then they would take him and kill him at the shallow crossings of the Jordan. There fell at that time 42,000 Ephraimites. So they establish a password. What's the password? The password is, come on, we're going to get revelation today. The password is, say the word Shibboleth. But they could not say Shibboleth. They would say Sibboleth. And because in their dialect, they had no sh sound in their dialect, so they would say Sibboleth. Looked the same, appeared the same, but their dialect, their ability to pronounce a sh sound, was missing in their culture. So I'm going to give you three things today about transitioning. I'm going to give you three things today about crossing from one side of the Jordan to another. Can you say amen? Amen. I want you to notice, number one, that a single approach gave them their desired result. It was this single approach. There was nothing else that they asked them except to say the word Shibboleth. There were many multiple platforms that they could have used to reveal who was actually in which tribe, but they took a single approach, and the single approach was language. The Bible speaks to us a lot about language. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, it says, "Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat of its fruit." Luke chapter 6, verse 45, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Or you could say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth leaks. these Ephraimites, they needed to transition from where they are to where they needed to get to. But they were stopped because of their inability to pronounce one single letter. Language may seem insignificant. The words we speak may seem insignificant, but this little shh sound meant that 42,000 people lost their lives. I want to challenge us in this season about the language or the words that we're speaking. Are we speaking a language of faith? Are we speaking a language of life? Are we speaking a language of blessing and increase, the favor of God, the blessing of God, the touch of God, the help of the Holy Spirit? James, of course, the book of Proverbs of the New Testament, James says to us in James chapter 3, verse 4, about language, about the tongue. He said, look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. So James is telling us, you can get a gigantic ship, but a little small rudder, of course, referring to the tongue, may seem insignificant, may seem small, but it has the power to actually steer a ship. And what we are talking about is not necessarily when you think of a ship, just don't think of a boat. Think of a structure, the structure of your home, the structure of your family. Come on. The structure of your life can actually be steered by the words that we speak. It has the ability. A ship carries resource. Ships just don't sail around because they like going from one port to the next. The purpose is to carry resource. Resource is moved by the words that we speak. It has the ability, this little rudder, to move tons of cargo all across the globe, steering it wherever it desires. So is the power of language, the power of our words. The tongue is so powerful that James is trying to teach us that it can actually take us from one location to another. In other words, it's talking about destiny. It's talking about a place where we arrive in the purposes of God. If we think that language and the words that we speak are not important or insignificant, this story is here to show us about one single sound that destroyed and hurt a generation. The sound that we speak actually matters. The words that we speak over our children, over our families, over our homes, over our marriages, over our workplaces actually matter. Generations are shifted and moves, lives are destroyed or hurt or built up by the words that we speak. The devil himself knows this, because if you read in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, it says, then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, it has come at last, salvation and power, the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ. Watch this. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to the earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. If language was not important, then why would the enemy accuse God's people day and night? It doesn't say for 30 seconds, then he went through McDonald's drive-thru. Day and night, he's accusing. Day and night. That word accuser is made up of two Greek words. One means to categorize. Loves to categorize you. Tell you what you're not. Put you into a box. The second word is diabolos, which means he's an adversary, an enemy. This enemy, this adversary loves to categorize you, put you in a box, tell you about your past, tell you about what should or shouldn't have happened. And how is he doing it? He's doing it day and night. Language matters. Things that we say matter. The words that we speak over ourselves matter. You'll never ever hear me confess bad things over my life. I say to people, your words are your wardrobe. If you're going to speak negativity, guess what you're going to wear that day? Negativity. You're going to speak things over your family, over your children. We are declaring death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat of its fruit. You never ever hear me speak things over my life, over my marriage, over my family that's incongruent with the word of God. I choose to speak blessing. Come on, I choose to speak faith. I choose to speak life. Why? Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. I refuse to be a critical person. I refuse to be a negative person. If we think we've got it difficult in some of the things that we go through, then just travel to different parts of the globe and you'll realize that you've got it pretty good. You just got to travel to some places in Africa. You've got to travel to some places in Thailand where all kinds of terrible, hurtful, harmful things happen. We are blessed in this nation. And we got to change our heart, change our attitude, change our thinking, and speak the blessing and the favor and the goodness of our God. One single thing they chose, and that was pronounce the word, and that'll tell us who you are. We got to speak blessing, speak faith, and speak life. Number two, be aware of your environment. Be aware of your environment. Are you aware of your environment? Are you aware of the people that you choose to connect with? People that you choose to do life with? They're having a direct impact on the way that you think. They're having a direct impact about what you believe about the future. Be aware of your environment. You know, our daughter Tori recently got her P plates, and mum and dad, mainly mum, a little bit of dad here and there. Alison and I, you know, Sydney, you got to do like this 120 hours of driving on the L plates before you can go for your P plates. And she's a good driver. She did a great job. But remember, this is the first time in my life that I had to teach someone how to drive. When I went for my license, I went for 2 driving lessons, went for it, bam, dishes are done. There was no such thing as driving a million hours before you got your license. So here I am driving to Cronulla, driving to Kirrawee, driving to Miranda, driving to Como, driving through Sutherland, getting the hours going. And one of the things that you realize when you're teaching someone else how to drive is to cultivate and create in them an awareness, watch this, of their surroundings. You got to know not just what's in front of you, you got to know what's on your left, you got to know what's on your right, you got to know what's going on in the traffic behind you. And we would say to Tori, Tori, you've got to have this 360 degree awareness, because a day will come where someone is going to break in front of you, or someone is going, you know those people who just turn their indicator on and they think it's their right just to all of a sudden change lanes? Come on, let's have an honesty session here. When the person next to you puts on their indicator, who speeds up? Oh, there we go, a couple of honest people. Who creates the space? A few, who has no awareness that the person next to them has put their indicator on? Maybe that's the question we should be asking. And the idea is, I've got to be aware. I've got to know what's going on around me. Now watch this. For these people, their surrounding, their connection their relationships established an accent. They could not say the word shh, not because when they, watched the TV show and that's just how things, their surrounding, their connection, their relationships determined an accent. The people that you surround yourself with are building in you an accent. We've got to be careful, mums and dads, who we allow our kids to connect with. Alison and I had a very strict rule in our home when our kids were growing up about sleepovers, and not against those things, like, you know, all good, but we were like, you know, checklist, man, you know, break it down. We got to know who our kids are connecting with. We got to know their friends, because those friends, those relationships are forming an accent in the heart and in the minds of my children. Relationship matter. Your relationships matter to you. They are forming an accent in your life. The people that you connect with will form an accent in you in the arena of faith. Come on, amen. They'll form an accent of what you believe about whether prayer actually works or not. They'll form an accent in you about whether you believe He's the healer and He's the miracle working God. They'll form an accent about what you believe about worship. They'll form an accent about how you view church life. It'll form in you a humble heart. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Or it'll form in you a critical spirit, a negative spirit, always looking, the self-appointed watchman, looking down at church life, trying to point out everyone else's faults and what people should and shouldn't be doing, rather than just keeping your eyes on Jesus and having a good spirit. It's forming an accent. Hang around with generous people because you'll become generous. Generous with their words, generous with their time, generous with their energy, generous with their attitude. Hang around people who have spirit, amen, who have excellence, because excellence honors God and inspires people, amen. You got to surround yourself with people who have the right accent. Stay away from cynical people. Come on, anointing comes with association. Amen. Stay away from people who gossip. I don't like hanging around gossips. I don't want to know about everyone else's business. That's between them and Jesus. I don't like gossip. Gossip hurts people. Gossip hurts the body of Christ. If you come into my home, my wife and my kids will tell you, we never speak bad about people, ever. We don't speak like that in our home. We speak about blessing over people. We value people, because that's what Jesus would do. Amen. Whew, this is good preaching today. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. He who walks with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Can I give you another verse? Come on, are you getting something out of this today? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Do not be deceived. Paul's just trying to make it clear. Don't be deceived about this. Evil company corrupts good habits. Now we'll break this verse down just in one moment. But this verse has been on my heart for our church for about 3 to 4 weeks now, and I cannot let it go, because it's the verse that my mother quoted over me when I was 13 and I was hanging around with the wrong person. And in the West Australian, they used to put every week on the Saturday, they'd put a verse from the Bible. And this verse was in there. My mum cut it out. She put it up on the fridge. And she says, there you go, Bradley. God's speaking to you. Amen. evil company corrupts good habit. Now watch what it's corrupting. It's corrupting what? Habit. Psychology today tells us that it takes, on average, depending on the habit, about 66 days to form a habit. The company you keep is so powerful that it has the ability to corrupt something that took a long time to develop. Our surroundings matter. People we connect with matter. Get around people of faith, people of love, people who are passionate about the house of God, people who are passionate about serving. One of the things I always say to new people when they come to Horizon Church, I say to them that one of the great things I love about our church, I have teenagers, 14-year-old, 17-year-old. So one of the things I'm so thankful for, mums and dads, is the youth ministry that we have. Because in that youth ministry, they're giving themselves to the purposes of God. They're having fun. You can be a Christian, love Jesus with all your heart, and be the best that God has called you to be at Horizon Youth. It's an atmosphere that champions both genders. Amen. It's an atmosphere that calls out the best in our young people. I'm like to my kids, you go to youth, amen. I remember when my kids were transitioning from kids ministry to youth ministry, they get the heebie-jeebies in that transition and like, you're getting in the car right now because I know how good this is going to be for your future. And I'm thankful to God for our youth ministry. Why? Because it's a surrounding that's developing an accent of faith. Our kids' ministry right now, there's an accent that's been formed in those kids. Daniel and the lion's den. Noah built an ark. Abraham listened to God's voice. Amen. It's building an atmosphere. Esther trusted God for such a time as this. And what's happening in them is an accent is being built in them. God is able. God is capable. He's a mighty God. He's an awesome God. He's a powerful God, and death and life is in the power of the tongue. Amen. Number three, strategic repetition is your friend. How good is that? Strategic repetition is your friend. Now, we'll come back to this verse and let's break it down just a little bit more. Judges chapter 12, verse 6. Now let's go back to the word that they had to say. Judges chapter 12, verse 6 says, then they would say to him, then say, remember, they wanted to transition from one side of the Jordan to the other. Say Shibboleth. And he would say, Shibboleth. His accent gave him away. Now watch this. It's very important that you understand that these words actually mean something. It's not just an accent. It's not just because they couldn't put an H after the S. The Hebrew word for Shibboleth, watch this, means a flowing stream. Can you declare a flowing stream? Or Shibboleth in the Hebrew means a heavy burden. How's your accent? How's your language in the transitional season? Is it a flowing stream? Is it one of blessing? Or is it a woe is me? Woe is me, Lord. Woe is me, Lord. Woe is me. Woe is me. Or is it a flowing stream? I got to have communion this morning. I was reminded about Jesus and his goodness. When I go out today, I get to eat some food and have a great lunch because there's a whole bunch of people around the globe that actually won't. I got to turn on my electric blanket last night. Because there's a whole bunch of people on the globe that don't even have a bed. A flowing stream. Come on, let him who has ears to hear what was coming out of their mouth. Come on, here we go. In the transition season, burden. And it stopped them from going from one location to the next. Whew. Now, here we go. Let's keep going. Can we have that verse up again, please? I want you to notice something. Previous verse there, please, Sam. The Shibboleth one. There you go. What's the one letter that is missing between Shibboleth and Sibboleth? It is? Oh, come on. We're smarter than that. What's the one letter that's missing? It is the letter H. The letter H is the fifth letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It means hey, H-E-Y. Hey stands for divine breath. When God gets taken out, when the breath of His Spirit is taken out of our lungs, everything becomes a heavy burden. Amen. Watch this. Have a look at Genesis chapter 17, verse 5. What's more, talking to Abraham, I am changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Abram means exalted father. Instead, look what letter was added in. This is incredible. You will no longer be called Abram. Instead, your name will be called, shall be called Abraham. Come on now, Abraham, don't breathe too loudly. You can't do that in COVID. Say, you shall be called Abraham. The H was added, for you'll be the father of many nations. Let's have a look. Oh, another one. Come on, Brad. Genesis chapter 17, verse 15. Then God said to Abraham regarding Sarai, your wife, her name will no longer be called Sarai. From now, oh, here we go again. From now on, her name will be Sarah. So good. What was coming out? Divine breath. What was coming out? A flowing stream, not a heavy burden. From one level to another, from one side to another, from promise to reality, from one relational dynamic to another. From a move of the Spirit of God to another move of the Spirit, it was coming out of their mouths, a flowing stream. Painters have a brush. Sculptors have a chisel. Surgeons have a scalpel. And conductors have a baton. Believers have language. Come on. We got language. We can speak. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was out without form or void. And He said, let there be light. And there was light, calling things into being that are not as though they were. We have language. My speech is going to be a speech of faith, life, blessing, joy, increase. I'm not going to speak evil over people. I'm going to speak blessing over people. Because he who sows mercy will receive mercy. I'm going to speak hope, grace, encouragement. I'm going to declare the name of Jesus Christ over every situation, health, favor, divine increase. Come on, we're transitioning. We're transitioning right now. Those of you at home, we are transitioning. And we choose to bring the divine breath of God into our conversations. And we say, Jesus, you are amazing. Jesus, you are awesome. You are doing great things in this season. And we declare your favor and your blessing as we transition. Can we just do a spell check for a moment? You know, when you type up that document, let's type up the document of the last 6 months. It started on March 15th is when we went online. What's the spell check like? Come on, is it congruent? Is it parallel to what God says about you, about your family, about your home? I'm doing a spell check right now. A couple of times I banged my knee. A couple of times I did good. A couple of times I stood still. But regardless today, the Holy Spirit's reminding us, come on, get the language right. We speak blessing. We speak blessing. We declare blessing in Jesus' mighty name. Can you say amen? Well, I'm done. Have you enjoyed today's sermon? Can we just stand up just on our feet, musos and singers? If you can come, please, that'd be fantastic. I want you to put your hand on your heart just for a moment. If you can, put your hand on your heart. I want you to think of this past season. I want you to think of what God's doing in us, through us, transitioning us, moving us from one location to the next. Those of you at home, you may be seated on the couch, maybe watching on your iPhone, your home TV. If you can gently just place your hand on your heart as well. And today we declare the goodness of God. Can you repeat this after me? I am greatly blessed. Those of you at home, say this as well. I am greatly blessed. I'm highly favored, deeply loved, and protected by the blood of Jesus. I speak this confession over my home, over my family, over my children, over my marriage. Greatly blessed, highly favored, over my career. Greatly blessed, highly favored, over my health. Greatly blessed, highly favored. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.